Amen. If that didn't touch your spirit, I don't know what will. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And our translation comes from The Message. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test its length, plumb the depths, rise to the heights, live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah and Jesus. Glory down in all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, Glenmar. It is so good to be with you today. It is good to see your faces, to share in this moment in three-dimensional form, and to share with those of you who are joining us online. I would like to take just a moment of personal privilege before we dive right in, and that is to say thank you. It is with a heart of tremendous gratitude that I am so thankful for the 5 years that I have had as an opportunity to work with you, to walk beside you, to journey through this season of life together. And if you are a person who has sent a card, if you have given me a phone call, a text, an email, and you've given me a gift, I want you to know that I take those with me and that they are going to buoy my strength as I move forward. I am just so grateful to have been with you. Someone, will you pray with me this morning? Oh, loving and everlasting God, we come before you in this moment, just as we are. God, you see us from the inside out. You know every hair that might even be on our head and those that we might have left behind. And God, we just bring ourselves to you in the fullness of who we are, expecting that you will meet us in this moment. So Lord, would you have your way today? Would you take my mouth and my words, and would you make them be acceptable in your sight? Would you use them, God, to lead us deeper into a life of faith in you? And all these things we pray today for the glory of your name, Jesus. Amen. So I happen to know a pastor person, well, several, but this one I am thinking of this morning is a kind and a gentle soul. This is the kind of person that you would love to go and talk to. And if you happen to be in his presence, maybe you're in one of those one-on-one kind of counseling sessions or times together. Well, then you're going to feel like you're the only person that matters. And you're going to feel like he has all the time in the world just for you. But let me tell you, if you get in the car with this man when he's behind the wheel, he turns into a whole other person. You see, that man drives like a bat out of, well, you get the point. He takes right off, and he goes careening in and around cars and weaving and bobbing and shooting past people. He is amazingly fast on the road, almost seeming reckless at times. And there have been times when I have been in the car with him and I could have sworn I almost catched a little smirk on his face while I'm on the floor singing "Nearer My God to Thee." And I'm thinking, well, what's the purpose? Why is this such the rush? Are we really in a race? In 2019 in London, they were holding an annual marathon, and Hayley Carruthers was one of the elite runners who was running that day. Now, Hayley had every reason to believe that she was going to win that marathon. And indeed, she easily outdistanced her competition, finding herself only second to the eventual winner. And after 2.5 hours of a blistering 6-minute mile, the finish line appeared right before Hayley. And there was the cheering crowd. There was all of the media around. They were catching every glimpse, and there wasn't a cloud in sight on that day. And just at that moment, right before the finish line, Hayley collapsed. She fell. Energy gone. Body completely exhausted. It was like someone had pulled the plug at just the wrong time, and the power went out. Now, I find that the longer that we live, the more opportunities we have to observe both of these kinds of scenarios. You see, there are those of us who rush on by and we're weaving in and out. We find ourselves considering everything as an obstacle. It's something to overcome. It's something to get past. Barely noticing the situations that life presents, speeding right past the people that we should be paying attention to the most, speeding right past the lessons that we most need to learn. And then there are times when we've started out real strong. We've given it all that we've had, and the universe seemed poised to lay a victory wreath right at our feet, when suddenly, without warning, despite all of our hard work and preparation, the wise choices and the decision-making that we made along the way, the power goes out, and we fall utterly exhausted, defeat closer than victory. Now, friends, if we as individuals have a misplaced or an insufficient energy, how much more so does the collective body known as the church? You see, Paul knows that the church is not a self-help project, that it will run out of energy, that it will often move erratically and indecisively, and sometimes it will charge ahead despite its best intentions, and it will move on without thinking things through. You see, Paul knows that the church must learn to rely on God and not on itself. And perhaps that's the toughest lesson of all. And I'm sure that there are times in your life in which you have had to learn to rely on God and not yourself. I look around this room and I see many of you whose stories I know very well. And I know that you have spent time in life where you had to learn to rely on God and not on your own strength. And if we had the time, well, like through tonight, I could tell you many, many stories in my own life in which my strength failed, in which all of my wise choices and my best decisions went flat, and I had to learn to rely on God. Now, by the time we get to the 14th verse of the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul has reminded the reader that his whole purpose for being there, his whole purpose for enduring the struggle that he has endured, is so that the boundless riches and love of Jesus might be shared. You see, this life-changing message is meant to be shared, not just for the people who are gathered here, not just for people who are inside the churches, but oh no, it is meant to be shared with those who are outside, with those who are outside of the walls, lost in their own confusion and muddle, to those who are in despair, to those who are without home, hope, possibility, and even of love. You see, this message, it's for them. The risk that we take, my friends, when we calculate all of those risk management things, when we decide what new ministry we're going to start, when we decide what mission project to take on, that risk, it's for them. It's for all of those who are not with us today. If we only shared the gospel with the people who are gathered in this room, well, it wouldn't be very risky at all, now would it? We all seem to get along, at least, you know, for this hour or so, right? But it's when we go outside that things start getting dicey. You see, Paul had been the recipient of the life-transforming message of Jesus himself. He knew what God's love could do in his life. He knew what Jesus and walking with Jesus could bring into his life and his world. And in fact, the message that he had received was worth Paul becoming a second career pastor for. I can kind of identify with that. It was worth Paul suffering for. It was even worth his own life. And yet, Paul knows that even Paul can't do it all. Paul can do some of the things, but he can't do all the things. He can't do all the spreading of the gospel. He can't establish all of the churches. He can't pastor all of the people, not all by himself. And see, here Paul has a nugget of wisdom that can benefit both you and I today. You see, he's learned to let God in, to open his own heart to the transforming grace of Jesus. He has learned to gather other believers around him, to encourage each other in the faith, to share the load of ministry and the work of mission. He has learned to lean and to depend upon the power of God when his own strength has faltered. So by the time we get to the 14th verse of the third chapter of Ephesians, Paul is reminded of his own purpose and of his own insufficiency. And he begins to pray. Paul doesn't admonish the church at that point. He doesn't warn the church about the possibility of losing their faith along the way. Oh no, Paul turns to God and he prays for his congregation. Paul prays that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Oh, my friends, it is no coincidence that Glenmar's vision is inspired by this very passage.
that in some visioning session long before Pastor Anna came, that you collectively decided that you would seek to be a church that roots people in the life-giving message of Jesus Christ. Why, it's almost as though Paul's prayer had you in mind. He had you in mind when he prayed that you would know for yourselves the power of the love of Jesus, that you would be filled with the fullness of God, and that you would operate out of that fullness, out of that abundance, out of that overflow, and not out of the insufficiency of your own lives. You see, here in our culture, we often suffer a disease of busyness. Even I do. I've often been asked, well, Pastor Anna, how are you doing? Or what are you up to? And I'll be saying something like, well, I'm busy. Like, you know, that's a badge of honor. It's not. We are often too busy, busy to the point that we don't notice the things around us, much like that pastor in the first scenario. And Glenmar, you're really busy. You do an awful lot of work. Even in the short time that I have been here, we have visioned together, we have branded, we have built teams, we have recruited volunteers, we've restructured boards and committees to optimize our organizational structure, and we've developed online classrooms, we've sewn masks and built beds and handed out food, and that's just some of the stuff that we've been up to over the past 5 years. But yet, when we see only what we have done or what we have desired to accomplish, when we only see those things, I believe we're at risk. We're at risk of losing focus, at risk of running out of steam, at risk of thinking that we've done all of this all by ourselves, for God, but not with God. We are at risk of being unaware of God's enabling, empowering spirit that has been present in our activity all along. Now, Paul knows that he and his congregation, and even we today, will run aground if we attempt to function on our own power. We need the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Well, so what happens, Pastor Anna, when the project is really too large? What happens when the money is really too little and when the volunteers don't show up? What happens when there are long, dark nights of inner doubt and of worry and of isolation? Well, my friends, I've got really good news for you today, if those are among your questions. You see, it is in the midst of this emptiness, it is in the midst of that doubt, it is in the midst of the loneliness, the isolation, and the despair that we find that God is faithful, that God can be trusted. And in fact, that emptiness, well, it's just the place that God wants to fill. That doubt, this confusion, this powerlessness, oh, it's just the advantage that God will use. It becomes the power play that can turn everything around. You see, Paul knows that power is made perfect in weakness. I had an older brother whose name was Milton. And one of the many, many things that Milton did amazingly well was he ran track when he was in high school. Milton was a state champion. And you know, I had oftentimes, I've said, I didn't fare so well in the genetic lottery because by the time I came around, all of the brains and the talent and even the speed had been taken. And what I got was like curly hair and blue eyes. I don't know how far that takes a person in life. But Milton, of his many things that he did well, was he ran. And the stories of his races were legendary. By the time I came along, I would imagine they had been inflated a little bit. Apparently, Milton made it look so easy. He just glided around the track. And one of the races that Milton ran really well was a relay race. And as you all know, a relay race is a little bit different. It requires trust, and it requires some team effort. Friends, I believe that in our lives we will find ourselves in a race at some point, or we'll feel like we are. And the best kind is when we are on a team and we are working with others. And I know today there's a little bit of that going on in my mind. You see, 5 years ago when I came to Glenmar, there was a baton that was placed in my hand. And for 5 years, I have been moving and running as best as I possibly could. And today, there is a pastor that is on my heels. He is moving up behind me, and he's coming in fast as we turn to make the cut. And I don't need to look behind me because I know he's there. And I'm going to pass that baton off, and Pastor Kim will reach right out and take it and be prepared to take Glenmar on the next leg of this faithful journey with Jesus. You see, there are times when we are in the midst of life running and we need to pass off. There are times when we are in life running and we get tired. And some people have asked me in the course of the last several weeks, Anna, we've been through so much. Are you tired? And I have to tell you today that yes, while we've been through a lot, and we have lost some people along the way, we visioned some things that didn't work out. Oh, my friends, the work has been so amazingly good. And I have to say that in the words of the gospel writer James Cleveland, I don't feel no ways tired. You see, I don't feel no ways tired, for I've come too far from where he brought me from. Nobody told me that this road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I don't feel no ways tired, Glenmar, and neither should you. Amen.